John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Hotel Mars, Episode M. David Livingston, Dr. Space, joins me because we are going to look at the moon and a NASA success of these last days. David, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John.
These are my two favorite robots, now deceased, although forever in history, because their impact site is called the Sally K. Ride, named for the famous hero of the astronaut corps, Sally K. Ride, recently deceased. Their impact zone. But these two robots have the magical names of Ebb and Flow. This is part of the Grail mission of NASA, and we welcome what David has taught me to say is the principal investigator, the PI of the Grail Ebb and Flow mission. These two former robots now on the surface of the moon. We greet Maria Zuber, who is the E.A. Griswold Professor of Geophysics and Killian Award Lecturer at the Department of Earth, Atmospheric, and Planetary Sciences at MIT. She is traveling on the West Coast. Professor, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. And as PI of Ebb and Flow, what were Ebb and Flow, and why is it a success that they crashed on the moon, I believe, within 30 seconds of each other? Good evening to you.
That's correct. Good evening. I'm happy to be here. So Ebb and Flow are identical twin spacecraft. They're about the size of an apartment-sized washer and dryer. They flew in precise formation around the moon in the last several weeks, at lower altitude mapping the moon than commercial airplanes fly on Earth. On the Earth, they measured the moon's gravity field. And they did it at such a high resolution because they were able to fly low around the Earth, because the Earth has an atmosphere. You have to fly a factor of 10 higher than our little robots flew around the moon. So we were able to create the highest resolution gravity field for any planet, including Earth.
And a higher resolution gravity field, why is that a help? Why do we need to know that about the moon, Doctor?
We're trying to reconstruct the moon's history. One of the key things that happened to the moon, the Earth, Mars, every other planet, was that shortly after the planets formed, they were bombarded with asteroids that were left over from the formation of the planets. And these had a very, very significant, they played a very significant role in forming the early surfaces of the planets. So at the time when you look at the cratered surface of the moon, if you look at the time when these impacts were taking place on the Earth, or on the moon, Earth was being bombarded in a similar way. And this is the period of time when the first single-celled organisms were developing on Earth. So that record is not preserved on Earth because it's been eroded, it's been subducted beneath the ocean floor, and so the only way to study the energy that was put in by these many, many asteroid impacts is to study the shallow crust of the moon.
David?
Good evening, Doctor. Lately we've seen a bunch of public relations announcements for programs to put the astronauts on the moon by various private parties. If we just zero out whether they can do it or not, does knowing more about the gravity field, is there a direct relationship to helping an eventual human mission back to the moon?
Oh, there certainly is. Of course, this is not why we proposed the mission. We proposed it for scientific purposes.
Right.
An outcome of having developed this gravity field is that it has greatly improved our understanding of the latitude-longitude grid of the moon. It's also, knowing the gravity field very well allows us to navigate around the moon and do precise positioning and landing far more accurately. We're also now in the process of looking for things like lava tubes beneath the surface of the moon, which are places that an astronaut could hide if a terrible solar storm arose. So there's all sorts of benefits of this for both human and robotic exploration in the future.
These wonderful robots, now deceased, or let's put it this way, they've moved into another life phase. They were named by children. Ebb and Flow is my favorite ever since they were invented. I didn't know I would get to speak to the PI of Ebb and Flow. The detail here, why crashing them? Why did they have to crash, and what was the significance of the event? Why was it hailed as a success?
We knew from the beginning that they would crash on the moon, and the reason for that is that the moon's gravity field is very bumpy. If you're a satellite in orbit around the moon, it's like flying in a plane during turbulence. And the gravity field is so uneven that even if you're in a very nice orbit, the gravity field pulls the spacecraft out of that orbit very quickly. And so we needed, however, we needed to fly that low in order to make the very high-resolution map that was the objective of our mission. And we decided when they ran sufficiently low in fuel that instead of just letting them crash wherever, there was a very, very small risk. I think it was 8 in a million that the spacecraft could, what I'll call, interfere with a soft landing site of another spacecraft, either an Apollo landing site or a Surveyor or a Soviet lander. NASA didn't want any risk of that, and frankly, we didn't either. And so we decided to do a controlled deorbit.
David,
in following Grail and ebb and flow, I'm aware of the fractures, and they sort of give you a pathway into the center of the moon or possibly even a planet. Had there been water on the surface, would that water be dispersed inside the moon or a planet, or would it pool in a lake or form an ocean interior in the planet or the moon? What would have happened to it?
Well, yes, we found in our map, we found evidence for significant fracturing that goes down many tens of miles. This was a big surprise. So we believe that the interior of the moon has some water, not huge amounts of water, but we believe that the fractures that we see on the moon also must have existed for the other terrestrial planets, and the one that comes most immediately to mind is Mars. Mars, we believe, may well have had a surface ocean that we believe disappeared when the climate changed drastically early in its history. And now we see a very logical way of a pathway for this water and where it could have gone. So one of the interesting things to speculate is that if life ever developed on Mars, and we don't know that it did, and the climate changed for the worse, these microbes, if they were in any way associated with water, may have headed underground, and so we fully believe that there could be a great deal of water in the lower part of the crust or upper mantle on Mars.
We're speaking with the PI of the Grail mission of Ebb & Flow, gravity tracking of the moon, and there's a marvelous photograph, a picture available that makes the moon look like a child's perfect ball, many colors, a green, red, yellow. I urge you all to look at it. You can get the oblong version or the oval version. Professor, is there anything that you've discovered so far with this experiment that is inconsistent with the theory of the formation of the moon being a spin-off of the detritus of a collision with a Mars-sized planet and Earth early in our formation period?
Well, we've been able to constrain the composition, the abundance of certain elements in the moon that bear on this idea that the moon formed by the impact of a protoplanet into the Earth. So we've actually found additional support for that hypothesis based on being able to constrain the aluminum abundance in the moon. But the constraints that we've been able to put on that argue pretty strongly that this impactor that hit the Earth must have mixed with it so thoroughly that any material thrown out was completely indistinguishable, finding evidence from the impactor versus the Earth, and that really puts limits on what the size of the impactor was. We now think that it probably was smaller than a Mars-sized body impacting.
So let me pursue that a little bit. You mean you can't find anything so far to indicate on the moon what that impactor was made of? We can't find any original any ore isotopes.
That's right. We've looked at the aluminum abundance, and quite fascinatingly, I will personally say, we found the aluminum abundance on the moon to be identical to Earth.
Hmm.
Okay, now, that could only happen if this impactor very, very thoroughly mixed with the Earth. So the impactor melted, the Earth melted, and in fact, there was a computer simulation that was published in the journal Science about 2 weeks before our paper came out, actually predicting that this was a possible scenario for the formation of the moon. So right now this idea that the moon formed due to an impact of a large body into Earth still remains the only idea for the formation of the moon that doesn't have a fatal flaw. But details of this are still being worked out, and our very initial results have shed some light on this.
David, this is extremely exciting. Is that a fair generalization of what we're learning? David, are you there?
Yes, I think it's an understatement. It's more than exciting, and, you know, lots of us have been waiting all our lives for this kind of information and more, and we're just really thrilled that we're finally getting it. And these science probes that NASA is doing are so amazing and so successful.
And, Professor, the success that you've experienced with Ebb and Flow and Grail, this can we measure this as a complete success for NASA? Is that language that's useful?
Well, that's what NASA's saying. So we met every technical milestone we have accomplished our science measurement objectives. You know, all the science, there's still much more science that we want and need to do based on analyzing the data. Gravity data is very complex to analyze, and it requires a lot of processing. But we met all our milestones. We came in under budget, and we collected more than 99.99% of all the data that we could have collected. So neither spacecraft in their short life ever had an upset. So I'm a happy lady.
Ebb and Flow, the perfect robots, and Maria Zuber, E.A. Griswold Professor of Geophysics and Killian Award Lecturer, Department of Earth, Atmospheric, and Planetary Sciences, that includes the moon and the impactor unnamed, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show, the PI of the success of Grail's Ebb and Flow. I'm John Batchelor.